Rabbi Katz Sicha, polishing your Menaira.
I'll start with a story. Just while everyone's coming in, I'll tell you a good story. That the Rosh Shiva in Gateshead, Rav Ram Gurutz, Shalom Gesund. So one time, he wanted to get a safe from the Eitzah Svarim. And so he went to the Eitzah and tried to get in. And the door was locked. Some bacher, you know, was playing around and decided to lock the door of the Eitzah. So he banged a little bit, and the bacher didn't answer. So he banged the bang, you know. So the bacher said, "Who is it?" So he said, "It's Avram Gurutz." He said, "Yeah, and I'm Reb Chaim Ezer Grudzinski, you know." Like, come on, really? So he stood there, the Rosh Yeshiva, and he knocked. Finally, the bacher was choshes that maybe, you know, he had to come out eventually. Bekitzer, so the bacher opened the door to go out, and he saw Rav Ram Gurutz was standing there with his eyes closed. And he waited until the bacher went out. Why? Because he didn't want to see who it was. Because he knew that this bacher would remain in yeshiva for a number of years, and he didn't want that every time the bacher saw him, he should have to feel embarrassed for him that he did such a silly thing. And therefore, that was his automatic reaction. I'm just telling you a story just to see what it is. A refinement of character, someone who cares about someone else. Just to open up with a story. But that's the topic that I want to talk about. The topic of refining ourselves. We spoke about last week, we introduced the concept of Shevim, that the Kadmonim tell us that we're supposed to be working along with the Parshas as we're reading about the Yidden preparing themselves, moving towards Matan Torah. So we also get a special shout to the Shmaya to work on ourselves. And one of the main areas that we have to work on is this area of Tikkun HaMidos. How do I know that Tikkun HaMidos is one of the areas we have to work on? So Lamaisa Ramchal says Mefurish, in Derech Hashem, he says at the beginning, he says that a person was put on this world to be mashlem himself. He says, what's shlemus? He says two things. Correct knowledge, haskola nechoina, and midas tevis. Those are the two things that make shlemus. If a person has one without the other, so he certainly can't be a Muslim. A person could know, and he could know Torah, and he could have haskola nechoina, but if he doesn't have midas tevis, so he's not a Muslim. That's an essential part of our shlemus. The Rosh says in Peah, a famous Rosh, in Pirush HaMishnayos of Peah, we're on the Mishnah of Dvarim Shadim Echel Parasim, the first Mishnah over there. The Rosh says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chafetz B'mitzvah Shebenam L'Chaveru Yoisem Mitzvah Shebenam L'Makor. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants more the Mitzvah Benam L'Chaveru. So that's what I want to talk about, this area. Tikkun HaMidos Benam L'Chaveru. It's something that's an essential part of Shlemitz, and it's something that now we have to work on in these weeks. We get a special Seat to the Shema, like we keep saying. And this is one of the things that we need to work on. So of course, Baruch Hashem, the Olam is a fine Olam. And I don't have to talk about the concepts in a general, gross way, because everyone, Baruch Hashem, has good midos. So maybe we could talk about, you know, more sensitivities, more, you know, higher level. I once heard a halachical line from a Chashev Yid about Boston Flatbush, someone who works on himself. And he said like this. He said, even if it would be true that not everyone could be a Gadol Bater, not our topic, we're not discussing, but let's say it's true. He says, but a Gadol in Midas, that everyone could be. Something to think about. That, you know, in Torah, maybe people have excuses, not excuses in this, but for a person to work on himself and to perfect himself, that's something that really everyone could do. And I think that the reason why this sounds so strange to us is because we're just so used to not thinking like that. Rav Avigdor Miller also used to talk about this concept of shleimus, shleimus and midas, and he said it's a lost concept. It's something that we don't talk about, that people should become Muslim, they should become special, work on their midas. What's the reason? The reason is because we're affected by the guy. You go out in the guyish world, everyone knows. A guy does something, he says, it's just human. It's just human, right? Someone gets upset at someone. He reacts in a strong way. He screams at him, hits him, whatever it may be. You talk badly about a person, right? So people say, it was just human. I had a human reaction. Yidden don't accept that as an excuse. Our job is to be better than human. Now, it's not really true. It's just we have a different picture of what it means to be human. We understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, B'Tzelem Elokim. He gave us midas. He gave us a mitzvah, V'alachta B'Drachav. We're supposed to learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways, and therefore our standard is different than the Goyish standard. But unfortunately, we hear it so much, and we're so affected by it, that we forget that we have a higher calling. We have something else to strive for. And this is something that's so important to remember, is that our Kli Mida are different, and we have to realize that this is part of the destruction of Golos. It's Pashut, it's a Churban that's destroying us from what we could be. I'll tell you two stories. Two stories, very similar stories. A famous story, maybe you've heard, about Moshe Feinstein, that one time someone was giving him a ride. So he, of course, went, opened the door for him, let him sit down in the back, and then he closed the door, took him to where he was going, and a few minutes later he got out. And so the person who was accompanying Rav Moshe, so he saw that his hand was swollen. And he realized that what happened was that this person who was driving him had closed the door on his hand when he had put it, you know, closed the door for him. But he said he was sitting next to him, he didn't see any reaction on his part, nothing. No show of emotion, anything. Why? Obviously, because he didn't want to insult the person who was doing him a favor. That's one story. There's another story, a similar story. Rabbi Shul Leib Diskin, also famous, Tam Chacham Goyin Tzadik, Rav Yerushalayim, 100 years ago. So he used to give a shiur in his house, and his wife used to prepare for him a glass of tea. And he used to drink tea with a lot of sugar, because whatever, to adjust his blood sugar. So his wife brought him a glass of tea, and he was sitting with Talmidim, and he took the tea and he made a brach and he drank it, you know, while he was giving the shiur, he drank the tea. And then they saw at some point in the shiur, like his rebbetzin came in and she looked at her face, she put her face into the room to see, and they saw she was like white in the face. And then she went out. And so afterwards, one of the Talmidim went over to the cup and he tasted what was left over from the tea, and he realized that his rebbetzin, instead of putting in sugar, had put in salt. But he drank it as if it was sugar. Nothing. No mark, no reaction, no nothing. They wouldn't have known, except, you know, they saw these signs. Two stories. What's the chiddush of the stories? Right? That they cared. Rav Moshe didn't want to insult this person. He didn't want his wife to feel bad, or he didn't want his Talmidim to see, whatever it was that he was concerned. I think we all have these sensitivities. What's the chiddush of the story? The chiddush of the story, I think, is that by most people, you know, there's the normal reactions, how bodies work, how our mouths work. Something happens, something hurts, we scream out in pain or whatever it is. Their brains were wired differently. They worked on themselves that they didn't, nothing just came out of their mouth. They were thinking in a different way. That's the chiddush of the story. The chiddush of the story was not that they cared about other people, but that their care about other people was to such an extent that they worked on themselves over the years, that their whole being, their whole way of doing things was a different way of doing things. And therefore, there was no one saw it on them even, because it was so natural for them that such a thing wouldn't come out of their mouth. And the truth is, I think it's something that, you know, we could relate to. Imagine, let's say you would go for a job interview somewhere, you're meeting some, you know, high-level executive, and in the middle, all of a sudden, you're having this interview with him, and you see, you know, outside, you know, the window cleaner is cleaning the windows, and he starts making faces at you or something like that. You'll laugh? No. You control yourself, right? Because you don't want to lose your job. You don't want to blow your interview, right? Everyone's capable of controlling themselves. It's just a question of training that it should be important for us to do, and this should be an important part of our lives. That's what the Torah requires. That's what the Torah expects from us, that it should be important enough to us that it's something that we should work on and we should grow into little by little. L'maisa, in these parshas you see last week, we learned about Moshe Rabbeinu, right? What does the Torah tell us about Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu became the leader of Klal Yisrael, become Moshe Oid B'Yisrael. What does the Torah tell us about him? The first thing the Torah tells is he went out, La'ochiv, Ayar, B'Savleisam, right? He was in the palace, he could have stayed there. He had a good life. And the Torah says that he went out to see what was going on with his brothers, right? What we call Neisu Ba'olam Chaver. He went out to see. That's what the Torah says. Chazal tell us, not only did he see, he empathized with them. Chazal Loshen said, in the Medrash, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mi yitein moisei alein. It says, I would die in their place. He was ready to give his life for them. Chazal tell us that he went, and when he saw them working hard, he took off his jacket, and he went, and he started working with them. He started schlepping things, he started pushing things and building things, because his heart was with them. That's how people grow into it, little by little. And then you see, when he went out to the Midbar, to the Sneh, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him that he should go and he should take the Yinan Mitzrayim. What does he say? He says, no. He says, send Aaron. The Medrash says the Loshen. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Achshav ikonis bitchuma shel Aaron via Meitzah. I should step into Aaron's territory and he'll feel bad. Aaron's my older brother. He's the one who should do it. I'm not going to go do it. He was sensitive. He understood. He's being offered something, the greatest job ever. No. I don't want to. It's my brother's position. It's not my position. What does the Torah say about Aaron? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer back? No. V'racha v'samach b'libay. Aaron will be happy that you have the job. This is what's going on. He's concerned about him. Aaron is saying, no, I'm very happy. It says that's why he was zeichet to the Urim V'Tumim. On his heart, because his heart was so pure, because v'racha v'samach b'libay, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was made on him that in his heart he could be happy for his brother. These are the midas that the Torah describes. This is what the Torah expects us to read and to learn. We're supposed to learn from these parshas. We're supposed to make these thinking a part of our behavior. It's just a question of realizing that the world is not here for us. There are other people. Where did they learn from? Where did the others learn from? They learned from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world to be mative to Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in a purely selfless act. There was nothing that he did, nothing in it for himself. He did it to be able to be mative to us. And so the others and the Nevi'im after them, they had this different view on what the world was about. They understood that it was keying into other people, being sensitive to other people's feelings. And they grew and they worked on it little by little by little. And this is what these Gedolim saw. Rav Moshe, Rav Yehoshua Leib, this is the way they lived their lives. So slowly but surely, if a person thinks like that, so again, his mind starts to think like that and he reacts like that, a different kind of reaction. Something we would call, you know, superhuman. It's not superhuman. That's the human that the Torah wants from us. That's the mensch that the Torah wants from us. Such a type of mensch. And everyone has to think about it. You know, in yeshiva, the things we do affect other people, right? If we, how we come to davening, to shurim, to things, all the things that, you know, Arbeim tell us that, you know, we don't like to hear, but that's really what they're saying. They're saying you have to think about other people too. That has to be part of our thinking. It's an important thing that we need to be thinking about. Reminds me of a story. They say that, you know, why is it that's hard for us? Again, it's because the pshat is, you know, a person by nature. We've spoken about this before. He thinks about himself. They say there was once an avreich went to Rav Shach. I think it was Rav Shach or a different gadol. And he said that it bothered him that my wife is never ready on time for Shabbos. Now, I don't know what he was asking, what he wanted Rav Shach to tell him. Maybe he had studim, you know, maybe I should wake her up early on Friday morning, you know. Maybe I should, you know, take a stick and hit her, make her work fist. I don't know exactly what the question was. He was probably someone who didn't go to the shmooz, you know. But anyway, but Rav Shach said to him, he asked, what should I do? You know what Rav Shach told him? He said, take a broom and help. You didn't think of that, right? Why not? Like, you know, someone gets married and he sees his wife is not doing, he was probably worried that she wouldn't get around, you know, to making the chocolate chips or whatever it is that he liked, you know, for dessert on Friday night. So, you know, he's to take care of himself. Wrong. If someone is not managing, so you got to think, maybe you should help them, right? I don't know how many opportunities we have in yeshiva for that, but once in a while, you know, things happen. I don't know if it's nageya, you know, if the food isn't ready in the kitchen or something like that. It could be there's no place for someone to help. But maybe, if you see someone having a hard time getting out for Shabbos, something like this, the opportunities, it's all a question of what our mindset is. Are we thinking about ourselves? Are we thinking about the other person? Is there another person over here that we have feelings for him, we care about him? That's the way we have to be. And, you know, until now we talk about the Sur Mirah, then there's the Asay Toiv, there's what we could do for other people to encourage them, how we could think, to tune into the things that they do. They say about Rav Ignal, it's Taka Nifldik, the story is about him on Nifldik, but they say that when he used to eat a meal, when his wife used to prepare a meal for him, so he used to count out the different ingredients that were in the soup that she used to make, the vegetable soup, that he would appreciate every step of the way. We don't realize the food comes to the table. We think it's just magic. You know, you take it out of the oven, you put it on the table. No, there's preparation that goes into it. He put his mind to think about these things so he could appreciate it. It's all part of the same thing. It's part of tuning into other people. And I think that the reason why it's so foreign to us is, again, it's because we get influenced by the goyim, by the people around us. Why am I saying it? Because I'm not coming to knock the gun. Because if we don't understand where the bug is coming from, then it's very hard to fight against it. It's very interesting that Pesukim in Yecheskel that speak about the time when the Yidden were in Mitzrayim. Some of the Pesukim we read in the Haggadah, Ve'evra Alayich, Ve'es Bin Splaseches B'damayich, right? Chazal Darshan Adam Mila. But what are the Pesukim saying? The Pesukim are saying an interesting marshal. They're saying that when Klal Yisrael was Nigal from Mitzrayim, when they had the Gula, so they were like a baby that was just born. And so it says that they were dirty with their blood, and they were no one smeared them with oil and did the normal things that people do when a baby is born. So then it says, HaKadosh Baruch says, I came along, Ve'erchotzeich b'mayim. I washed you with water, Ve'eshtef damayach me'alayach, and I washed the blood off you. So the Malbim says, what's the pshat in this pasuk, in these psukim? He says, when the Yidden came out of Mitzrayim, says they were dirty because they had been in Mitzrayim for so many years. They picked up a lot of the things, the habits of the Mitzrayim. We know it's a famous kasha that people ask, Kadmoinim ask, that Golus Mitzrayim was supposed to be a Kura Barzel. The Pasuk says it was a Kura Barzel to purify Klal Yisrael. But we see that when they came out, they were Ivdei Avodah Zarah, like Chazal say, Halolo Ivdei Avodah Zarah, Halolo Ivdei Avodah Zarah. They had a lot of bad things that they picked up in Mitzrayim. So what's the pshat? Where was the tikkun? So pretty much all the Mefarshim say the same teretz, that inside they had a tikkun, and the things that they had done wrong were just external. It's a medrash that says it, that when they said, Halolo, Ivdei Avodah Zarah, so HaKadosh Baruch said, it was just chitzoni, it was just external because of the pressures. What's my point? My point is that when people live amongst the goyim, even at a time where their character is getting purified inside and there's a tikkun going on inside, but l'maisa, inevitably, the dirt and the schmutz of the goyim sticks to a person. And it's something we have to realize, that our way of looking at things and their way of looking at things is totally different. Their benam l'chaveray is totally different. You go on the street, you hear how people talk to their wives, how people talk to other people. It's lo yehuman, right? You have a story about Rabbi Levine, famous story. Rabbi Levine one time went with his wife to the doctor. Her foot was hurting her. So it's a famous story. He came in and he said, our foot is hurting us. You understand? Him and her were the same. It wasn't her foot is hurting, it's our foot is hurting. That's the way a Yid relates to his wife. You can't talk about how the guy relates to us, but what we have to know is not to talk about them, we have to know, we have to make sure it doesn't impact on us. their way of treating people, how they talk to people with rough, tough ways. Edom, right? We're in Gaul's Edom. Edom, right, lived by the Cherev. The Cherev is not only a sword. There's many, many, many types of swords. The Pesukim Mishlei says, Perek Yud Ches, it says, Divrei Nirgon Kimislamin, Behem Yordu Chadri Beta. That when someone says something complaining against someone else, so it's like taking a stick to him. And it says, Vehim yordei chadri beten. The words go down inside him. The Goyen on this pasuk says that when someone hits someone with a stick, so it's only a makel legufoy. When someone says not nice words, it's a makel nafshoy. And then the Goyen continues. He says, a makel legufoy has a refuah. A makel nafshoy has no refuah. That means when we say something to someone, we have to be careful. We have to realize what we're saying. Again, you go out in the world, people say things. Yeah, people talk to people. Yeah, you make a joke. You make fun. It's just a joke. I don't really mean it. Everyone knows that words, they could bother people. By the game, they don't care. Because what's the difference? So you go home at night. You take an extra can of beer. You spend a few moments in front of the television. And it all goes away. But by Yidden, that's not what Yid's life is. We need someone who's going to feel confident to learn Masechtas Yevamos. We need someone who's going to feel good about himself that he says, I could do it. I could know this Masechta. If someone doesn't treat him the right way, so then we're affecting. We don't understand. Sometimes if a person's lucky, someone says something not nice to him and it bothers him and he wakes up and he realizes, you know, words sometimes could hurt. But that's the job of a Yid, to be thinking about these things. To be thinking about these type of stories where we saw that our Rabbeim, they cared, they were sensitive, they they didn't want to say. I'm reminded of a story about Rapam, a famous speech that Rapam gave once by an Aguda convention. He got up, he said an incredible thing. He said, I was once walking on the street and I saw a mother say something terrible to a child. The kid was a little kid and he did something and she looked at him and she said, you're a bad boy. I know, I think it's a crazy story, right? That's pretty good. Bad boy is mild, right? But Tom, he couldn't understand that a mother could tell a kid, you're a bad boy. Maybe he did something wrong, he was this. You don't have to tell him he's bad. That's a Yid sensitivity. Understand, these are the stories we have to understand. When we see these stories and we read about Aaron and Moshe and how they talked, Moshe Rabbeinu, we're going to have later on how he treats Korach, right? And he goes and he shows himself to Korach. The stories upon stories upon stories. We have to pick up on it. We have to realize that we have to ignore what we're seeing on the outside. The Goyim, they don't have these sensitivities. And again, my main point is just that we shouldn't be looking there. We have to realize we have a Torah, that the Torah tells us how to behave. And this is the time we're supposed to be preparing for it. In these weeks, we have a special Seatat Shema, because when the Yidden came out of Mitzrayim, and they taka had this dam on them, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu washed off the dam by going through this process of Sfiras Omer at that time, those days, till Matan Torah, where they were able to shed themselves of everything they'd picked up in Mitzrayim. They were able to come to Matan Torah pure. And that's what's being offered to us. What's being offered to us is to be pure, to be refined, to be Bali Midas, to be mentioned, the Turdic way, not the Goyish way. To be not what they say, just human. To be a human, the Tzelem Elokim, the way we're supposed to be. And we have so many Mishalim, so many examples, so many stories about just these things, these sensitivities. This story I told you at the beginning of Ram Gurutz, I just saw recently a story, just to tell you another story about Rav Ram Ganachovsky. Rosh Yeshiva Chabin, also going out some tzaddik said earlier. So he had a chavrusa on Friday night that used to come lower him every Friday night. So one Friday night, the chavrusa comes, and by accident, I didn't know if it was me, and so he maybe inadvertently leaned on the bell, or he just was used to ringing bells. So by accident, he rang the bell by Avram's house. Of course, he felt very silly, but, you know, he was coming to learn. So he stood there. No answer. So he knocked a few minutes later. No answer. Knocked a few minutes later. Finally, after about a half an hour, Rav Ram Ganachovsky comes to the door. if you understand the person, you appreciate the story. Ramadan Hafs comes to it in his pajamas. And he's like rubbing his eyes. He says, Isis, I'm so sorry. He says, I wasn't feeling well after the Suda. So I laid down and I fell asleep and I feel so bad. You must have been waiting for a while already and this. And you know, also he takes a minute and says, I'm going to go change, you know, and he goes. So the person himself said the story. Says, it's a double pasha by him. Ramadan Hafs never went to sleep after the Suda. He sort of didn't put on pajamas. Said, what was the reason? He said he understood that if he would open the door for me, I would feel like 2 cents that I rang the bell on Shabbos. And so therefore, he went through this whole charade just to make me feel good that I shouldn't feel bad in front of him. That's a yig. Understand? Thinking about it. So he didn't have to think about it. This is dvorim pshutim by Anashim Gedolim. Thinking about the other person. What could I do to prevent his embarrassment? What could I do to make him feel good? A compliment, a nice word. Think about what an olam would be like if Baruch Hashem, the olam is a fine olam, but if we would be mechazik, say a nice word. Someone says a svar and this. Someone says something, you think maybe it's a little wrong, so you find the good thing in it. You say it's nice. I saw something like that in a different sefer. Gives chizuk. It makes people, gives kayach. That's what we're supposed to do for each other. The kids said, this is the time, this is the tkufa. We're learning about it now. We have examples to learn from. We have sat the Shmaya from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing that should stop us. We should all be Zeichel Kach.